And welcome back, Pocket Change listeners. Today, have I got the guest for you. Today, we have Enoch Maurice, who is a motivational speaker. He comes to us with divine motivation. And listen, you know, I'd love to tell you who this person is and what this guy does and how he lifts me up every single day. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let Enoch do that. Good morning.
How you doing? I'm so happy to be here. How you doing today?
I'm so good. I'm happy we finally connected. This has been in the making since like December.
Oh, definitely. And I'm glad to be here. And like you said, I guess I can tell a little bit about myself and who I am, what I do. My name is Enoch Maurice. It's spelled H-E-N-O-C. If you saw it, you wouldn't be able to pronounce it right. But it's Enoch. The H is silent. My parents are from Haiti. So they speak French and Creole, so that's why it was spelled like that. So in school, you could imagine the teacher when they would say my name. Mm-hmm. But I'm a motivational speaker. I also work for social services. I'm originally from New York. I live in Durham, North Carolina now, where I do social service work, and also speak to students in schools and just try to motivate them, help them be the best version of themselves. I grew up playing sports, football, wrestling, lacrosse. Natural athlete, and I do motivational videos every single day on my Instagram, Divine Motivation _, that's the Instagram. And my goal every day is just to at least inspire one person, and we could talk about how I got there, but that's pretty much the wrap. Oh yeah, I'm a husband, father. I have a 5-year-old boy that has crazy energy just like me. I have a 4-year-old girl that's just the same. And yeah, just living life every day like there's no tomorrow.
I think that's how life is supposed to be lived, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, I often say I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse before. So all we have. Yeah. It's the legacy that we leave behind. And it's not just our children. It's not just the work we do, but it's the people that we leave fingerprints on people's souls.
Most definitely. And that's what I try to do every day. So when you reached out to me and said, like, I actually had an impact, like, it was a no-brainer. Like, yeah, of course I do this. Like, this is what I do it for, to have impact on somebody that may be having a rough day, somebody that may be struggling. If I can just give some type of motivation every day, and the goal has always been one person. Like, if I can help one person, like, yeah, I'm helping multiple people, and I get DMs like, oh, you have no idea. Like, that's specifically what I need. And I'm just like, wow, like I didn't know. Like, and it just became an everyday thing.
So you said your parents are from Haiti, and yep. So like they immigrated over and went to New York. And so It would be fair to say that your parents probably didn't have the greatest upbringing. Well, maybe they had a great upbringing, but maybe they didn't have everything that you're able to provide to your children.
Oh yeah, definitely. I didn't even realize this until probably a year ago. It's like, I'm first generation American. Like, I've been born here, and it just seems like I've just been here. Like, I'm just from here. But I'm like, my parents wasn't even born here, and I'm from here. And it's like, it really hit me the other day. Like, wow. So like, I can speak Creole, but my kids, they understand a little bit. And I'm like, man, I wish they could have the experience of the language, even though. So growing up in Brooklyn, we lived in an apartment, and I knew what it's like going from apartment to moving into a better home, then to moving to Long Island, to actually moving in Long Island, New York, Nassau County, to an actual home. And my kids, they start out in a home. Mm-hmm. And it's bittersweet because I want them to know what it's like to progress in life, but I'm going to have to show them in a different way. And for me, I saw it with my parents and the struggles they went through. And not saying like we have it all together now, but they're going to see it in a different way. And I have to kind of give them that so-called hunger and grit that was embedded in me when I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you come from like a space where you actually have to climb up the latter. It is a completely different, it's a completely different experience in life than when it's something that you don't generally have to work for. Like when you wake up and everything is there, your fridge is full of, you know, food that's healthy, that, you know, it's very different, right? I mean, I was raised in the very far north, and we were a very, like, we lived in poverty, and it was, you know, not, my dad had a really great job, but, you know, he was also raising two little girls on his own in northern Canada. It's expensive to live up there because it is cold, right? And it is isolated, and everything is trucked in and or flown in. And so you think about that, and it's like you could be making $60,000 a year and still not be making ends meet. Could you imagine being even below that line? And you know, it's something that very interesting. Like I did the same thing with my daughter, because, you know, I always say to her, you know, I live to spoil my child. I do. I live and I love to spoil her. But it's the second she goes rotten.
Yeah, exactly.
Once I see that rotten little bruise form up, I'm taking it all away.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. My wife, she always wants to give the kids everything. And I'm like, can't give up everything. Like, make them work for it a little bit. Make them have something. Like, all right, I got to clean up. I got to do this. I got to make sure I'm doing good in school. At least something. Don't just hand them stuff. Like, they have to know that just not even that you have to work hard for stuff. Just at least appreciate what you have.
Yeah.
Don't take it for granted. Because if you're constantly getting toys, you're just going to be throwing them. Like, oh, this toy, it's a new toy. Oh, cool, just another toy. But if you know, like, hey, you know, we worked for this, right? And because you were good, because you did what you're supposed to do, and because we love you, this is for you. And not just like, oh, I just get stuff just because.
Yeah, I'm awake and I'm breathing. You know, one of the things that I used to do with my daughter, because she's a December baby, right? And so you think, I mean, what in December?
December 2nd.
She's December 7th.
Wow.
So, yeah. So you Sagittarius, right?
Yeah.
So she used to get all these gifts. Cause I mean, like I have a fundamental rule I've always lived by is that I don't care how many kids you want to invite to your party because we celebrate you while you're here. All these people have these big old funerals and people who they wouldn't talk to for years come. And that's wonderful. And it's great. And it's blessed. But why aren't we celebrating when people are here? And so she never had a cap on how many kids she could invite to her birthday from the time she was 4 years old. Let me tell you. Thank you. And, you know, her fifth birthday, it was the Hannah Montana birthday extravaganza. Enoch, I made 25 backstage passes for when these little chickens come through my door. Oh, and it was a picture of her dressed up as Hannah Montana for Halloween that year, and had like a little barcode, and I laminated them, and I made like lanyards, and oh man. And so these kids, we had a terrible, terrible snowstorm the night before. Like I had to take an F-350 truck just to go pick up the ice cream cake. The ice cream cake.
Oh yeah, you are the goat mom.
And so I go and I get this cake and I come back, and she was very upset with me because I had to like dig out the doorway and whatever. And out of all of those kids, only two didn't show up because they got stuck in a town an hour away. There were little girls being driven up on quads, like four wheelers with gift bags hanging off the back and plowed. Like it was bananas. You know, so I look at that and I'm like, holy smoke. So she would have like 20 kids at her party, 16 to 20, sometimes 23 kids would show up to our house. And so she'd get all these gifts and like it's tons of toys. And I would say to people, bring her craft supplies, because crafting is such a great way to relieve stress and keep you busy. You're not on screens and whatever. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I would say to her, you're not allowed, like after Christmas, she'd get her next round of toys from all over her family and her friends and whatever. And I would say to her, you're not allowed to open any toys until you clean out some of the toys from your room and take them somewhere else. I will tell you, that child, I have pictures of her bagging up brand new toys that haven't been opened and craft supplies, and she'd take them over to the women's shelter. And she said to me one time, she says, Mama, she says, I want to take all these craft supplies over so that those little kids are able to focus on something other than not being in their home.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That makes my heart melt. Oh my goodness.
Right?
That is so beautiful.
It's that whole mindset of expect nothing but appreciate everything, which is, I think, what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, and going back to what you said about celebrating, like, death and life, that's kind of the reasons why I am the way I am today. Because when I was going back, going back to when I was probably like 7, 8 years old, I almost died. So,
wow.
I wasn't a bad kid, but I was like a class clown. And I remember fighting with like 3 boys, and then I got kicked in my back. And then I remember my mom picking me up, and then we go home, and I'm like, "Mom, I don't feel too good." And she's like, what's wrong? And she thinks I'm trying to get out of trouble. I'm like, no, something's really wrong. So I just remember being sick that whole weekend. It was a Friday. And then that Sunday, I told my mom, like, I think we need to go to the hospital. And that's when she knew something was wrong, because I don't like going to the hospital. Then we go to the hospital. The doctor, they do all this x-ray stuff, and they says he needs to rush to the hospital right now. We need to have surgery on his stomach right away. What ended up happening was they said my appendix was about to burst. And I remember seeing my mom. I have a tough mom. I've never seen her cry. And when I saw her crying, it was like something inside me just rose up. And I said to my mom, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I don't know where it came from. And when I look back now, it was my gift of just being able to inspire and motivate. And I saw her just like have this hope, like it's going to be okay. And I didn't know if it was going to be okay. It just came out. And obviously everything went good. I had the surgery. But from then on, I realized I had something different about me. And like when I would play sports, I'd always be the captain. I would always be the guy in the middle. Like, guys, don't worry about it. If you scared, you don't have no energy. Look at me. I have too much energy. Take some energy from me. I'd be that guy. And then that just crossed over to my adult life. Just realized, like, I would be driving and I would see somebody jogging, and in my car, I'm like, let's go. You got this. Like,
yes.
it just exudes out of me. So like, that's when I started just doing the Instagram, and I wasn't going to do it. But then my wife was like, no, do you need to do this? Cause I was going to do like one video a week. And then she was like, no, like, people need you every single day. So I was like, all right. And I just started doing it every single day, going in the car, daily divine motivation, let's go. And I would just try to motivate somebody. Like, my goal was just one person. And to me, like, my Instagram, I don't compare my Instagram. So like right now I have like 3,000 followers. To me, that's bananas, because in my mind, I was just doing it for one person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, in a year, I got 3,000 followers. And I'm like, oh, it's crazy. Like, like people really need this. And I'm like, so my gift was given to me, but it's not for me. So like, I just use it every day to just try to inspire somebody, like, that may be down, that may be struggling, because I wake up with so much energy every day. And I realize that's not necessary. To me, it's normal, but not everybody wake up like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, let me try to help the people that may be struggling and just use my gift to inspire as much people as possible.
You said something that was just so profound there, and I want you to unpack it a little bit for me. My okay. gift was given to me, but it's not for me. How mm-hmm. powerful is that? Like, when yeah. you see somebody, like, you know, you go back into like the old televangelists, right? Yeah. You think about all that stuff. You think about, like, oh, I mean, like, they're doing documentaries left, right, and center on all those crooked buggers now, right? Like, yeah. you've seen that.
Yeah, of
and
course.
And you know, those people were doing it for a different reason. They were motivational. They were inspirational. They were able to touch people. They did yeah. give people something, but they also took from those people.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. you know, you say, my gift was given to me, but it's not for me.
Yeah. Talk on my everyday, because people would say to me, like, yo, how are you like this? And I'm like, I just am. Like, I appreciate every single day, because at one point, I almost wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't take life for granted. I really live every day with a purpose. And I'm like, if I'm still here, like, I have this saying that I say when I go to speak in schools. I tell all the kids to repeat after me. Say, I'm still here. I have purpose. I have a gift that the world needs. And I'm like, if I'm still here through everything I've been through, it has to be for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this energy that was given to me, like, of course I could just hoard it and not use it. Anybody just wake up every day and just go about my business. But that doesn't leave anything on this earth. And I feel like we're all put on this earth to leave something here that wasn't here. So I'm like, all right, I have this gift of energy. I have this gift of motivation. Everybody don't have that. It would be selfish of me to just keep it to myself. And then when I started expressing it to other people and I saw the impact of it, I saw what it was doing to people, I saw the, and people saw the, how genuine I was and how authentic it is. And you see other people getting lifted from something that's normal to you. It's like, it's priceless. You can't put a price on that. So it's like, this gift that was given to me, yeah, I have it, but it's not for me. It's for me to use and help other people.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's really powerful. So when you think about like those hard times, because not every day is a good day, Enoch. I mean, we know that. I mean, I'm in the same camp as you. Some days I wake up and the world looks gray. It doesn't look the right color. And it's like, I got to go down and write some positive affirmations. And those don't even make me feel good. Right. And it's like, you wake up, you spill your coffee on yourselves. The kids are dragging their butts, getting out the door to school. Your wife and you have a little bicker back and forth. I mean, come on, let's be real, right? Life happens. Yeah, and yet you pull that out and you say, like, okay, I have a purpose. I've been given a gift and it's not for me.
Yeah. That's so funny you say that, because that was my mood this morning. And it's funny because I say to people, like, I can probably count on one hand how many days I may wake up like, and today it was like that. The kids was not moving the way I wanted them to move. My wife did something with the laundry that I was upset about. Like, she, and it was like, huh, okay. These are things that are happening right now. And I'm able to process it in a way to where I can use it as motivation. And that's one thing that I'm thankful for, because I could use it to take control of my day and just be angry. But I have this one thing where I'm like, something annoys me, it has a time limit. And it's not going over 5 minutes. It's not like I set a time limit. Like, this is happening now, but I'm not going to let it control my whole day. And what I did, I literally, my video for tomorrow morning, I recorded. I'm like, you know, sometimes it gets frustrating. Sometimes you may be doing the right thing and things are just not in place, but you still have to keep going. You still have to find a way to push through, because ultimately it's going to make you stronger. So I use all the days where it's a struggle, it's a push, and I use that to motivate me. And then once I'm motivated from it, I use that to motivate somebody else, because I know somebody may have a harder time getting through it, because I've found ways over the years to deal with frustration, and that's why I go to the gym every day, you know? So like, I've learned that when I went to the gym today, like I had to get it today. Like, I had to let some stuff out, but it was positive. It wasn't like angry. It was like, it's channeling this energy. Because one kid asked me, like, how do I handle my emotions? I said, look at it like this. Emotion is just energy in motion. You get to decide how you want to direct that energy. You can direct it in a negative way, or you can take that energy and use that into doing something positive, or learning from something, or trying to figure out where you are with what got you so emotional, what got you so angry. Is learning how to just kind of figure out what you're actually feeling instead of just reacting, just try to respond.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think the other thing that it does, too, is like when you have a bad day and you're able to turn it around, even acknowledging that you had a bad day. Right. Like, people think the sun shines out my ears, and it's kind of true. It does. I'm a really positive person. I wake up every single day. And, you know, I worked with this one football coach, and he's like the granddaddy of the defensive playbook for the Canadian Football League. Like, old school boy. And his dad used to say to him, boy, because it was back in the day, let me tell you what, the man's in his 70s. He'd say, you have a choice every day that you wake up. And you have the choice for excellence, or you have the choice for mediocrity. It is a choice. Everything we do is a choice. You clicking that join button today was a choice. Me reaching out to you was a choice. And I think that when people can really realize and see that everything we get, you know, it's optional. We get to pick what's in our purview. And I think this is one of the things that I teach, because I have a whole program on resiliency. And one of the things is emotional regulation. How do you manage those emotions? How do you cope with them? And we've built programming for kids from like 6 to 10, 12. And we have for teenagers, and then we have for adults, and we have like for the business world, right? Nice. So our programs are extensive. And nice. One of the things that I put in there is this equation. And I always say to people, if there's not one thing that you write down today, let this be the only thing. And it is this mathematical equation, E plus R equals O. The event plus your reaction equals the outcome. We tell our future. I want you to share that. I want you to share that broadly. I want you to take that. And when those little kids ask you, how do you do it? Think about this math equation, right? And it is. I always tell people, we can predict our future based off of what our particular event and reaction are, right? The event plus the reaction equals the outcome.
That's good.
Right?
Wow, I've never heard that. That is... I see things. So I'm literally seeing the E plus the R equals the, like that, that is, how did you come up with that?
I am the same way as you. I just wake up and this stuff hits my heart and it's like, yeah. I got to get it out of my mouth. Let's put it on a PowerPoint slide.
Wow. That's good. I'm going to use that if you don't mind.
Do it.
I'll give you credit.
No, please. Please, please. You know, because I think like the more we can share that, those messages and those little tiny tools that people can hang on to, the healthier our world is going to be. Our world is not a healthy world right now.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's not good. It's not good. We're divisive. We're angry. People feel oppressed. People feel slighted. And our politicians aren't taking care of us. They're taking care of corporations. Yeah. You know, they're not taking care of the people. And the people are feeling that. And there's a groundswell. And we have the makings of civil wars all the way across North America for numbers of reasons, between our government agencies, between our politicians, between our races, between our reparations and our reconciliations. This country, these countries are broken right now. Yeah. So you know what? Take it, talk it, preach it, share it. I want the world to know how we choose to show up, how we choose to react to our events. We can change our future if we choose to.
And that's one thing why I tell people, I said, control what you can control. Things are going to happen in life. Like there's only but some, I don't care if you're a control freak. Things are going to happen that's outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I just deal with what's in front of me? Because a lot of times we think about everything that's going on. Yeah. And then it drives us crazy. And it's like, you can't even handle everything that's going on. So why even let that consume you? Like, let's say you got to travel 6 hours in 5 days. You may be thinking about it so much. I got to pack. I got to do this. I got to do that. But hold on. What's the first thing you have to do? I got to get my clothes ready. Okay. Let's stop there. Like, I think if people just minimize the whole picture and just start with a brush stroke instead of trying to paint the whole picture, let's start with that first brush stroke. Got to go up and down first. Then you got to go this way. And then eventually you realize like, oh, I got this whole painting. I didn't even realize it. It wasn't even that hard. But if you look at the whole painting, like, oh my gosh, I got to draw that. It's going to drive you crazy.
Absolutely.
So if you just start like, okay, what is the beginning steps of whatever it is I got to accomplish? Do that. Like, for example, for me, I'm going into motivational speaking with school and stuff. I'm like, okay, when I think of the whole thing, okay, get into the school, speaking to the school. All right, what's the first thing? All right, we got to send an email out. Okay. Reach out to the principal. Okay. Get a call from the principal. Okay. What is it you would like me to speak to your students about? Okay. This is what I provide. Cool. All right. What's the next step? What's the date? Okay. This date? Perfect. All right. Do you allow videography? Okay. Cool. Get a cameraman. All right. But if I just go, yeah, I got to speak at the school. Like, I got to book all these stuff. It'll drive you crazy. You just got to go step by step by step. Like, what is the next step? And that's it.
You know, and I think that's so powerful too, right? Like when you think about it from that perspective, I mean, me, you know, my first thing, I facilitated a group of associate deans at a polytech last week.
Oh, wow.
And I said to them, you know, when I sit down with these guys, I was like, you know, when I get anxious, because you get so much stuff that comes at you, right? Like you open your inbox and there's 40 emails after you being in a meeting for an hour. It's like, holy smokes, heart attack city, right? but I always say to people, you know, I'm a list writer. I start by writing a list. I got this big old whiteboard here and I write on it all the time. But I always put the first thing on my list is write a list. So then when I get to the bottom of the list, then I cross that first thing off. And guess what? I'm already on my way to calming myself down. And what's interesting, too, is that what you're even speaking of is just that planful piece of just doing what you can in that moment. And what it does is there's a neurological component where our body stops releasing that horrible cortisol, which just fans the flame of fight or flight, right? Yeah. So it's like those stop points to say, hey, tap the brakes.
Yeah.
Let's actually, let's take this in another direction. Let's just do this for now. Mm. Right? That's powerful.
Yeah. That's good because a lot of times we get so, we put more on ourselves than the actual situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the situation isn't even that serious, but we'll take that situation and magnetize it by 10. But if you took a step back and just really looked at it, I was like, oh, I can handle this. But I tell people, like, I understand the other side of that. It takes time. If you're not constantly working on yourself and constantly trying to be, like, I wear this shirt, best version possible. And it's like, you can be your best version today. But what about tomorrow? Mm-hmm. What about the next day? So just start with just trying to be my best version I can possibly be.
Yeah.
Every day. Today, I'm going to be the best person. Tomorrow, what can I do to strengthen my mind? What can I do to prepare for things that might happen? How can I set my mind up to where, okay, things are not going to go the way I planned it. Have that kind of that precursor. Not like you're not going to hit your goal. Just knowing like, okay, things are going to happen along this journey. Like, fall in love with the journey. Forget the destination. Mm-hmm. The journey is the most important part because that's going to build you to when you get to that destination. If you're constantly thinking about the destination, through the journey, you're going to miss some things that you're going to need at that destination. Mm-hmm. So whatever your goal is, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, cool, have that there. Love whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. But fall in love with the journey because once you get to that destination, you'll be able to appreciate it and love it and actually fully be in with that destination. Because if you just skip steps on the journey, when you get there, it won't be what you thought it was.
Absolutely. You know, and I you know what? I mean, I believe this something very similar. And, you know, I actually look at it as the journey really is the destination. And I think, you know, I mean, we're never done. Right. I mean, but you think about a young person who's going through high school and their destination is post-sec 100%. Like that is, they got to focus and enjoy the journey and pull it in. Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, you know, you said something earlier about, you know, you head to the gym every day and you use that gym time for your own personal peace. I do the same thing. I'm a nationally ranked athlete and I do the same thing. I train 5 days a week, cardio 2 days a week. I'm in a competition prep right now. And it's, you know, every day in the gym is a blessed day in the gym, but that being said, it doesn't always feel great, right? And it is, you know, about creating that best version possible when you're a competitive athlete, and you'd get that, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, right. Now, I wanted to ask you about that because I know there's different terms as physique or bodybuilding. What specifically do you do?
I'm bodybuilding. Female bodybuilding. Oh yeah.
I know a few guys that do it, and I gotta give you guys the most respect. And I don't think people that don't understand it, they don't know the type of work you have to put in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's grueling. I admire you guys because it's the work and the dedication to do that. I feel like only a certain percent of people can do that. And whenever I see somebody that's doing that, I'm always congratulating, like, hey, no matter what place you get, the fact that you're there is like an accomplishment in itself. Because I know the prepping, the eating, the dieting, the cutting the weight right before you get on stage, like the water weight. I trust me, I get it. It's hard. That's a real deal.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. You know, I've been in the game for, gosh, I started my first prep was in December. I started December of 2010 and I competed the first time April of 2011 and it was terrible. I mean, I was not I was not what you would classify as in shape at that point, but it was my first show. I didn't know what I didn't know. And a guy actually direct messaged me on Twitter, and he said, you had no place being on that stage. He said, you should be ashamed of yourself. And I thought to myself, okay, that was really uncalled for. And so I'm a bounce back kind of gal. Like I took it a little hard. I was like, okay, that was really not nice, unnecessary. Did another show later that year and really was like, okay. So I ended up doing a couple of, like, I took a couple of years off and actually played tackle football. I was a linebacker. I was a linebacker with the women's tackle football team here in Calgary. I always used to joke, people are like, oh, you weren't on the offensive side. I was like, no, I can't read a field. Like, I mean, I could catch a ball, but like they just wanted me for my speed and my strength. Right. They were like, oh, you know, fast as goes, but like strong like ox, smart like stick. Right. So it was just like, she'll just run into things. So I did that for a couple of years and I came back and I started bodybuilding in 2014 again. And it was really an empowering move because I moved up from this class called Best Body, which was basically like the mix of like a bikini and like a wellness, what you would see now. But I wasn't competitive because I had been a very large girl in the past and I had, you know, lost probably about 115 pounds and was up on that stage doing what I did. And so things progressed and they like, I mean, I checked in this morning and I looked at a picture from my prep in 2020 in comparison to one from today. I'll send it to you. It's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Yeah. Because you don't see it. And that's the other thing. Like when we talk motivation, you know, when you're playing a sport like football, you know if your 40 got faster or didn't.
Exactly.
You know if your tee time is faster or didn't. You know if you got more tackles or you didn't. Mm-hmm. When you're in wrestling, you know if you had more wins or you didn't. When when you're playing lacrosse, you know if you got more passes nor more goals. You know those things.
No.
When you're in bodybuilding, it's very different unless you look back. Because like I had prep in 2018, and I kid you not, I come down to 140 pounds. I'm 5'8". I'm a big lady, right? Wow. And I don't have bird bones. I was up on that stage, and I was lean, but I looked like a bag of antlers, right? And so it's like, you know, so I'm up there, and I'm doing my best. I put a picture of my rear lat spread against it now, and it's like, I look at myself in my rear lat spread and if I don't have that I don't see that. And then even more so when you think about the comparison, and comparison truly is the thief of joy. And so I competed in at the national level in 2021 and I haven't competed since. And I got creamed, I got smoked, because I'm not an attested federation. And to each their own, right?
Yeah.
And you know what you're going up against, and you know who you're going to be standing next to. And no disrespect to those ladies, but I'm just not willing to put my body through what they are.
I hear you.
You know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, my friend.
No.
Once those changes happen, they happen.
Okay. It's over.
You know. So I got smoked and I was like, okay, so here I am. I mean, I won Masters 35 plus, which was great,
but
so I was like, okay, so I'm number one for that age category. But when it came down to actually being on the stage against peers in the Open, I was like, it was crazy. So I'm on the elevator at the end of the evening. My daughter and I had gone down to have dinner in the hotel restaurant and the promoter was in the lift with me. And she said, so what's next for you? And I said, well, I'm going to take a couple years off. I think I've got to put some tissue on. And she goes, a couple of years? I usually take 2 years because of the fact that it takes time for a woman to build muscle.
Yeah.
And so she says to me, a couple of years. She goes, no. She says, why don't you just pick a division that suits your body? And I was like, you know, that's not a really great way to get me to come back next year, right? Yeah. But again, when you cross a finish line, when you score a goal, those are very definitive sports to play in.
Yeah.
When you're standing next to somebody else and it's somebody else's subjective view of what they are interpreting, you know,
that's to you because
it's the mindset.
It's so easy to look at what everybody else got, like, I guess I got to do it. For you, that shows your mental strength and your confidence in yourself to say, I'm not doing that. Because it's so easy to just fall into the trap. Like, you know what? everybody else doing it, so I might as well. But mm-hmm. you decide, like, no, I'm not going to do that. And you still competed. Like, I feel like you won to me.
Thank you. I feel like it too. You know, and at the end of the day, and I say this tongue in cheek and pretty lightly, not to disrespect any of my pro athletes, but yeah. I'll be honest with you, a pro card in the IFBB, unless you're at a very, very high ranking, it's kind of like being rich with Monopoly money in the real world. Nobody gives a shit.
Oh my God. That's
tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Hilarious. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I know a little bit about it, so I don't want to speak too much, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but sport is one of those areas where I think you can really excel. And really, I saw this thing this morning. My coach actually sent it to me. She's one of my very good friends. She's a pro athlete, placed 8th at the Olympia in 2020. Oh, wow. So very, like, she is like right up there. Wonderful, wonderful human being. And she's also a mindset and motivational person. Mm-hmm. We're doing an event together in Edmonton later this month. And she sent me this thing, and it was talking to the fact that when you make a conscious decision to do hard stuff, when the hard stuff that you don't plan actually happens, you're able to deal with it. Like, you go to the gym every day and you're on time under tension, you're feeling uncomfortable, you don't want to go, you don't want to do the cardio, you don't want to eat the food, you want to eat the food, you you know what I mean? Like, those things where we put ourselves in intentionally in discomfort prepares our resiliency to be like, that's a flex in resiliency.
It's hard. Like, especially when you start your day like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what else can happen? You know how tired, like, you know what I did at the gym today? 3 drop sets. I did all this stuff. Like, this is nothing to me. And then my friend, he's in the UFC, and he says this all the time. He was like, people that, like, average people that just complain or rag on other people, they need to do jujitsu and realize, like, it's not what you think it is, because, like, she's right. I feel like you have to put yourself under some tension, and it builds something inside you. So for me, my mindset when I go to the gym, it builds me physically, mentally, and spiritually. Like, that's my mindset when I go to the gym. So when I leave there, I left it in the gym, but I feel full at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this fullness. Like, I'm good. But the days when I miss the gym, it's like, I ain't go to the gym today. Let me go do some push-ups. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I that's one thing I love about the gym, is just building me every day mentally. Like you said, I may not see it all the time physically, but when I look back at pictures, like, oh, wow, that's how I look. But every day it is building you. You just don't see it. And that, you kind of got it. How can I say this the right way? You kind of gotta be a little crazy because you're doing something without seeing a result. Mm-hmm. And that's what falling in love with the journey is, because you know you don't see a result right away, but over time you may see a result, like, hey, I was benching only one plate. I was squatting one plate. Now I'm doing a plate and a quarter. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
You're getting stronger, but it's the journey of it. It's like, I may not get rewarded today, but one day I will get rewarded.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty behind it.
Absolutely. And that's faith, right? Like, when it's belief. And that is the one thing that separates us away from absolutely everything, is our ability to have belief. Like, that's what sets humans apart. And it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Four Agreements. Have you read that one yet? Mm-hmm. Oh, you will devour it. It is amazing. The Four Agreements. I just finished it for the fifth. I just finished it for the fifth time last week. And the first time I ever read it.
Fifth time? Wow.
Well, it's an easy read. Like, it's about 175 pages. And the Four Agreements are, be impeccable with your word to yourself and to others, right? First and foremost. And that is the hardest one to master, because we've been raised to be gossipy. We've been raised to pass judgment. You know, I mean, so you look at that. The second one is, don't take anything personal. And that one is equally as hard as the first, because we have been raised with the carrot and stick, right? So you think about it, you're good. What do your parents, you bring home a good report card, you get a pat on the back, and maybe somebody takes you out for supper and you get a $20 bill from grandma and, you know, so you're rewarded. And so you're taught to take positive things personal, but then people say, well, I no offense or anything, don't take it personal. And it's like, well, how do I not take it personal? And my equation to that is if I give them the power to feed me, then I give them the power to starve me. And so then the third one is, so be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, right? We make these assumptions. I think you think a certain thing about me. And now all of a sudden I have this misconception about what you actually think because you didn't respond to my text right away. Oh, well, hey, maybe Enoch has a job and instant gratification isn't his game, right? Yeah. And then the final one is matches your shirt. Always do your best because your best is going to vary from day to day. If you're tired, if you're hungry, if you've had experienced loss, your best is not going to be the same as what it would be. So if you're doing your very best every single day and you're producing those good results, like that book, honest to goodness, it changed my life. And, and what they say in there is that our greatest fear as humans is to be ourselves because of the fear of rejection.
That's so true. That's so true. Oh my gosh. And even going back to the best, like my biggest thing. Okay. So I say this all the time, like my son, when he starts, like obviously he's five, so the tests aren't really that big yet. When he starts taking tests in school, right? I always said, as long as he gives me effort, the score doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. So if he comes home and he says, Dad, I failed my test. Okay, what happened? I didn't study. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But if you come home and you fail a test and you say, Dad, I gave it everything I had. I studied. I gave it my all, but I failed. I'm not going to be upset at you. We're going to figure it out. We're going to be like, okay, maybe we need to find a different study habit. But you're not going to get in trouble with me for failing a test. If you gave your all, if you give your all to something and it doesn't work out, can't be mad at you. If you give your all to your dream, to whatever it is you're trying to accomplish and you fail, it's okay. But if you say, I just was winging it, saw what happened. No, then I can't, I'm not okay with that. But as long as you give your full effort and try your best, it's okay. We can live with that.
Absolutely. I mean, it comes right back to the E plus R equals O. Yeah. The event is the test. Your reaction is you either pulled your bootstraps up or you didn't. And the outcome is based off of the effort that you put in, right? Exactly. It's super powerful. Mm-hmm. So as we start to kind of meander and wind down here, if you were to leave our listeners with one or two golden nuggets, what would that be?
One thing I would say is no matter what position you're in, no matter what happened in your life, because there's so many things that happen to us that we go through that we still deal with that's from our past or things that's going to come. One thing I think it's so important is to understand that you have value. Mm-hmm. No matter what, no matter who you are, or what you've been through, you have value. You're still, take a deep breath. You're still here. You're here for a specific reason, and it's not by accident. It's not just by chance. You have value. We all have a different fingerprint. Like, that's not an accident. You mean to tell me all these people in this world, we all have a different fingerprint. So start looking at yourself like, you know what? I may not look at myself as I'm important. I may feel like I've done some bad things. Some bad things have been done to me, but you have value. You're here for a reason. It's going to take time to figure out what your purpose is. It's going to take time to figure out why you're here. But start with the fact that I'm here. So I do have value. Let me start looking at myself that I have value, because then you start treating yourself better. You start thinking about yourself better. You start treating other people near you better. Once you realize you have value, you're like, oh, wait, that means somebody else might have value too. So let me start treating people better and just watch how your world around you. Everybody wants to change the world. Start with your world. What is around you? Who are you connected to? Start having some positive influences in your life. If you don't have any positive influences, you too. saw YouTube and things like, how can I become the best version of myself? How can I have a better mindset? Once you start there, that's when everything else connected will start to mash up.
That's powerful.
Thank you. So powerful.
And this is why you're here. And this is why this will not be the only time you're here. You are coming back.
This is fun. From your energy alone, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be fun."
Our messages, we were messaging like we knew each other for 15 years. I was like, "All right, you're like, okay." I was like, "I like this cat."
We might have to get on a call just to get to know each other. But then we started taking. I was like, "Yeah, we good. We don't need to get on the call. Like, we can just get right on the video, get on the call, and just do it. Let's go."
Well, and that's hilarious because normally, like, so listeners, Enoch and I have never met before.
Yeah, first time ever. First conversation.
And we're soul siblings.
Yeah, 100%. It was just like, all right. Sometimes you could just feel the vibe.
Totally.
Even through text, like, you can just feel the vibe, like, nah, this is about to be good. That's why I kept saying, like, yeah, I'm excited. This is about to be good. Like, I just knew.
Yep. And hey, let's make sure that we keep this line open, and maybe we have a monthly spot or something where we get together and we just have some divine motivation and some intervention, and we talk about what you're working on and what you're seeing and the trends you're starting, because I think that's pretty cool. In our world, it's one of those things where you can drop a rock in and you can do one of three things. You can create a ripple, you can create a wave, or you can create a tsunami.
Come on. That's good. I like that. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, yeah. You're dropping some gems today. Forget about me. You're the one dropping gems today. I would be taking a whole lot of stuff.
You take it and you run with it. Let's change the world one pebble at a time, man. I got you.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and share your wisdom and your energy and your vibe. And I can't wait to have you back.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you for just being able to say, you know what? I'm going to hit this guy up. Because you could have been like, he might say no, and just not attempt. And that's kind of like, that's full circle what we'll be talking about. Just go for it. You never know. Like, we would have never been able to have this conversation, have this moment, if you were just like, he probably won't respond, and just kept it moving. But you took the time to say, you know what? I like his energy. Let me see what's going on. And look where we are.
This is it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you, Enoch. And listeners, thank you for joining us for this energetic, loving, and expansive conversation. As usual, you know, if there's anyone you'd like to see us feature or any content you'd like to see us focus on, just reach out. A call doesn't cost a thing.